Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning on St. Patrick's Day, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. I don't know if you're intending to go to the parade this afternoon, or if you have plans to go elsewhere, but it's lovely to have you here with us this morning as we worship God together. I'd like to draw attention to our PW concert. It's due to take place on Thursday, the 28th of March, at 8 o'clock here in the church. That's a PW gospel concert, country gospel concert. So if anyone is here today and they haven't got their tickets, then please do speak to one of the members of the PW and they will make sure that you're able to get a ticket for yourself and for your 10 friends. We hope to have a good full church that evening, Thursday the 28th of March, and all the proceeds will go towards the PW Mission Fund. That's the only notice I'm going to draw to your attention. The other notices you will find in the announcement sheets as you receive those on the way in. This morning, our service will focus on the mission of the church and our call to share the good news of the gospel. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And so as God's people gathered here together, we gather to bring him worship and also to share his good news with others. A great opportunity to rejoice and sing God's praises. So we're going to sing a hymn that I know very well, and I thought that perhaps you would know it as well, but the choir then weren't 100% sure if you would know it. So I hope that you will be able to pick it up. We have sung it before, but it has been a number of years ago. It's hymn number 234, Sing of the Lord's Goodness. Maybe, Sheena, you could play it through once or something, could you? No? Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, especially to Sheena. We really appreciate you coming with us, to be with us this morning and leading us in our worship. And thanks to the choir as well for giving us a lead in that hymn. And we will choose it again to sing soon so that it lodges in our memories. Today, as I said, is St. Patrick's Day, and so our opening prayers are going to be based upon St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. And I'd like to invite Emma Fleming to come forward and help me as we lead this prayer together this morning. A number of people had mentioned about how hot the church was this morning, which is why we have the doors opened. But if you at the back pews begin to feel a draft and would like the door closed, then just get up and close the door, okay? That's great. Now we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. I arise today through the strength of heaven,
light of the sun,
splendor of fire,
speed of lightning,
swiftness of the wind,
depth of the sea,
stability of the earth,
firmness of the rock.
I arise today through God's strength to pilot me,
God's might to uphold me,
God's wisdom to guide me,
God's eye to look before me,
God's ear to hear me,
God's word to speak for me,
God's hand to guard me,
God's way to lie before me,
God's shield to protect me,
God's host to save me,
afar and anear,
alone or in a multitude.
Christ, shield me today against wounding.
Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me.
Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me.
Christ on my right, Christ on my left.
Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down.
Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me.
Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me.
Christ in the eye that sees me.
Christ in the ear that hears me.
I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. Amen.
Thank you, Emma. Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, and this will be read for us by Billy Joe Irwin. So it's Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, and this can be found off page 680 of the Bibles in the pews.
A day is coming when people will sing, I praise you, Lord, you were angry with me, but now you comfort me and are angry no longer. God is my Saviour. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord gives me power and strength. He is my Saviour. As fresh waters bring joy to the thirsty, so God's people rejoice when he saves them. A day is coming when people will sing, give thanks to the Lord, call for him to help you. Tell all the nations what he has done. Tell them how great he is. Sing to the Lord because of the great things he has done. Let the whole world hear the news. Let everyone who lives in Zion shout and sing. Israel's holy God is great and he lives among his people.
Thank you, Billy Joe. I'd like to invite any children with us this morning to come forward to the front pew. Good morning. Well, I wonder if you had some good news to share, how would you share it with someone who didn't live in the same house as you? Someone that you wouldn't see? Yeah. You'd ring them and maybe, or maybe text them. You'd ring them or text them, so you'd use your phone. What other way might you let them know your good news? Send them a note, yes. Write them out a wee note and post it to them. What other ways might? Go to their house and tell them, yes. Just leave your own home and go off and visit them and tell them the good news. Well, I have an item with me this morning that has been used for many, 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 many years to communicate news to people. Now, we still are able to use this item. We can still buy it. But most people, I think, perhaps most people maybe don't want to be ageist here, but most people maybe under 70 might get their news from another source these days. Anybody any idea? Not necessarily personal news, although there are columns in this that you can look to for personal news. Newspaper, that's right. A newspaper. So hands up, everyone in church, if you get a newspaper every day. Nice and high. Okay, I think my theory run true, more or less.
My granddad Billy always gets paper.
Your granddad Billy always gets the paper because he likes to know what's going on, doesn't he? That's great. Granddad Billy is well up on all the news. Are you, granddad Billy? Is granddad Billy out this morning? No. Well, you'll have to tell him that. That's great indeed. He's at his house this morning. Will you tell him that we were thinking about him today, will you? Yes. So it's important that you get a know what's happening in the news. And this is the newspaper that would always have come into our house. It was delivered by a paper boy who came up and down the streets. And yes, I think we maybe once or twice had a paper girl, but it was generally a paper boy. They came every day to deliver this news to us, except for Sunday, because it wasn't printed on a Sunday. It's the Belfast Telegraph. Now, I know most people here, if they were getting a daily paper about local news, would probably still go for the newsletter. But I'm a Belfast girl, so I had to get the telly. And so people would buy the newspaper to find out what was happening in the world. Often, the news that's in the newspaper is not great news. Sometimes there's good news to share, but often it's news of difficulties that are going on across the world. Then whenever I started work, I noticed that there were some people who used to stand at the front of the City Hall. And they used to shout this, "Sic Daleo! Sic Daleo! Come down and get your Sic Daleo!" And I was going, what on earth are they saying? Born and bred in Belfast, couldn't understand the Belfast accent. What is it that they were looking for? Anybody know? The sixth edition of the Belfast Telegraph. So this was printed every day, but it wasn't printed in the morning. It was printed in the evening. And the sixth edition of the Belfast Telegraph gave people coming home from work the very latest news. So nobody wanted the second edition of the Belfast Telegraph. Everybody wanted Sixth Leo, which is the telly. Sixth edition of the Belfast Telegraph. So there we go, that's the news. But this morning we are in church and we have good news to share, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't have a newspaper that we can read, but what is it that where we can go to find out this good news? In the Bible. And the Bible tells us the good news of Jesus Christ. It tells us how God loved us. Even though we may not have lived the way he would have wanted us to live, he wanted us to be his friends, and he sent us his son Jesus to die on the cross at Calvary and to offer us forgiveness of sin so that we could be friends with him. And that good news is good news, not just for you and me as we gather here in church today, but it's good news for everyone throughout the world. But how are people going to hear the good news of Jesus? We need people that are going to do a bit like that paper boy shouting, "Sic Daleo, Sic Daleo." Need people to tell people the good news, to tell people that God loves them and that Jesus wants to be their friend. And so it's important that we gather here in church today to worship God. And it's also important that we go out and tell other people about how God loves us. And today is St. Patrick's Day. And anybody know who St. Patrick is? He's a green guy, yeah. Like the green cross code man of my youth. He's a green guy. St. Patrick was the first to come as a missionary to Ireland to share the good news of the gospel. And I know that Emma has some things. Pardon? Does he have money? He has something that's better than money, Henry. He has a wonderful good news of life for all people who trust in him. And so Emma's going to teach you a little bit more about St. Patrick whenever you go out to children's church. But for this morning, we're going to sing our hymn, which tells us how the good news has spread from Israel right across the world to Ireland with St. Patrick, and right across the whole world, where this morning there are people in many, many countries throughout the world singing praise to God. So it's hymn 642. The church is wherever God's people are praising. Let's worship. Our New Testament scripture reading is found in the letter to the Colossians. In the New Testament, chapter 4 can be found on page 254 of the New Testament section of the Bibles in the pews. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Let's listen to God's word. Be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. At the same time, pray also for us, so that God will give us an opportunity to preach his message about the secret of Christ. For this is why I am now in prison. Pray then that I may speak as I should, in such a way as to make it clear. Be wise in the way you act towards those who are not believers, making good use of every opportunity you have. Your speech should always be pleasant and interesting. And you should know how to give the right answer to everyone. And we thank God for his word to us. I have another little video that I would like to show to you this morning. As we know, St. Patrick was the first saint, first missionary to Ireland with the gospel in the years 430 to 455, a very long time ago. But people in Ireland today still need to hear the good news of the gospel. So we're going to see a little clip of an Irish mission worker who works in Kilkenny. Let's watch this video. We're not quite sure if the sound's going to last the whole way through, so we'll just have to wait and see.
My name is Tom Dowling. I'm from originally County Carlow, and I work as an Irish mission worker with Kilkenny Presbyterian Church. An Irish mission worker is somebody who's been called by God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Usually the Irish mission worker works alongside a particular congregation, and there are Irish mission workers and community outreach workers working alongside many different congregations, both north and south of Ireland. And these workers are involved in sharing the gospel in many different ways. In Kilkenny, where I work, I'm mainly involved in door-to-door visitation, sharing the gospel door-to-door, tent outreach down at the local market on Thursdays. And there are lots of passers-by who come and visit, and we have literature on display, and we often have really good conversations with people, maybe people from another country, someone visiting Kilkenny, locals, people from all walks of life and from all kinds of different areas. We run Christianity Explored courses in various locations, hotels, homes, at the church, in community centres. We also have a ministry which we call Faith Indeed, working for the welfare of the city, as Jeremiah says. A certain number of people will come to the church, they will turn up on Sunday to hear the gospel, but there are others who will never come into the Presbyterian Church here, and our role and our passion is to go out and reach them and take the gospel out onto the streets or out onto their doorstep or wherever we can meet them, out in the communities, and talk to the people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm Daniel Reyes Martin. I'm the minister in Kilkenny Presbyterian Church. The church in Kilkenny has been blessed for many years, having an Irish mission worker. We have members coming from six different counties, which makes my pastoral work and visitation quite demanding with a lot of travelling. So I'm very thankful to have an Irish mission worker like Tom, where we can work together as a team. He is in charge of all the evangelistic events in the area and allows me to fulfill my calling as a minister. And I believe that if Tom was not here, or an Irish mission worker was not here, a lot of the work that is done in this congregation would not be able to take place. United Appeal has supported us for many, many years by sending Irish mission workers, ministers, helping in the building of this church.
Thank you. There's the sound, unfortunately, just hasn't come through there, the synchronisation between the video and the sound. But that was Daniel Reyes Martin, who was the minister in Kilkenny. I think he has since moved. But he was saying how helpful it was to have Tom Dowling as an Irish mission worker, working with him in the church, that enabled the work to continue in the town, sharing the good news of the gospel and enabling him to continue with the work of pastoring the congregation. In Kilkenny, members of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and Kilkenny come from six different counties that border around Kilkenny, so Daniel would have an awful lot of travelling to do to provide the pastoral support to the congregation there in Kilkenny. And so having Tom working alongside him, reaching out to the population in Kilkenny, which is made up of many different people from many different nationalities, many of whom have no faith at all. Some have a different faith, and all of them have a need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Tom, alongside Daniel and the congregational Kilkenny, seek to do that in interactive ways. And through the United Appeal, we are also able to support that work in Kilkenny as the good news is spread throughout Ireland. So we come now to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, on this St. Patrick's Day, we rejoice, O Lord, that the good news of your gospel reached the shores of Ireland and established your church here on this land. We give thanks for the Christian witness which has been passed on from generation to generation, right down to our present day. We are grateful for the example of those who have gone before us, people who have shared your gospel with us through their words and through their actions, Sunday school teachers, parents, ministers, friends, and even strangers. Help us, we pray, to continue to carry that gospel message to the people of this land today, to those who are young in the faith, to those who are growing in faith, to those who are seeking answers to life's dilemmas. May our words, our actions, our lifestyles, and our example shine a light on your mercy and your grace and enable your gospel to grow and bear fruit in this land. We give thanks for Irish mission workers and community outreach workers who seek to engage those outside of faith with your good news. May they be granted wisdom and courage, creativity and sensitivity as they follow in the steps of St. Patrick. And may we, in our own way, with our own unique gifts and talents, be empowered and enabled to share the good news of your gospel to others right here. As we think of St. Patrick, the first missionary to Ireland, we are mindful of the many people who have since left these shores to bring the good news to other lands, leaving family and friends behind and taking up the challenge to move to another country, culture and language in order to share your mercy and grace. We rejoice, Lord, in the growth of your church worldwide and for the many sisters and brothers in Christ who will meet this day to worship you as their Saviour and Lord. We pray especially for brothers and sisters who are persecuted because of their faith in you, and we ask your hand of protection and guidance to be upon them. We remember too this morning the Christian community in Christchurch, New Zealand, and we pray for them that they would reach out to their Muslim neighbours who were so cruelly and viciously attacked on Friday. Lord, in the midst of such an evil and a barbaric attack, we pray that your peace, your grace, and your love would flow in that city, bringing comfort and solidarity and support to the bereaved and to the injured. May this heinous act of hatred be defeated by love, love for neighbour, and love for your gospel of grace. And may your gospel be clearly seen in action through the words, the deeds, and the attitudes of your people in that place and across this world. These prayers we offer in the name of our Saviour Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We have prayed St. Patrick's breastplate. We're now going to sing a version of that hymn 494, Christ Be Beside Me.
Yeah.
The church is the only institution which exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. The church is the only institution which exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. This statement is attributed to William Temple, a former Archbishop of Canterbury. If this were a smaller, more informal gathering, I might ask you to turn to your neighbour and discuss this statement. Is it one that you strongly agree with? Or is it one that you have concerns about? The church is the only institution which exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. Some people might vehemently disagree with this statement and argue that it is only the people who belong to the church who should receive the benefits of the church. The church is here to meet their needs, the needs of the members who belong to it. In other words, it's a members-only club. Only fully paid-up members will get any of the benefits. Join up or get lost. Now, it probably would never be said in such stark terms, but that kind of attitude does sometimes exist in the church. Why should we change things to accommodate people who don't come? Why are we supporting the work out there when we never see any of the benefit ourselves? Why should the minister provide pastoral support to that family? Should they rarely, if ever, attend, and they certainly don't pay into the church? Some Pharisees displayed this sort of an attitude in the Gospels. You were either in or you were out. You were either part of their club or you were not. And they boasted about their membership. They boasted about their piety, about their financial contributions, and they looked down upon those who were outside their little elite gatherings. We have Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector to highlight this disparity. The Pharisee stood in front of everyone, shouting out loud how great and holy a man he was, how he had given more than the tithe into the church, and how people should look to him and to his life. Whereas the tax collector knelt, beat his chest, and cried to God because he was a sinner. Christ commended the tax collector. He went home justified. The Pharisee thought that he could impress others and maybe even impress God with his long and loud list of religious membership. But the church is an institution which exists for the benefits of its non-members. Some people might say, but surely the church exists so that people can meet together to worship God, to learn from his word, to receive his help, and to provide them with Christian fellowship, with love and with prayerful support. And yes, that is true. Those are the wonderful benefits of being a part of Christ's church. To worship our Saviour, to grow in faith, and to have fellowship with one another. But it is not why we are the Christian church. The church in the world exists today to testify to the good news of Jesus Christ as her Saviour and Lord, and to let the world know that salvation can be found in no other name than Jesus Christ. The church exists to call men and women and children who are outside of salvation to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, who died to save them from their sin and to offer them eternal life in his name. Why do we exist? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We have the benefit of being a part of God's covenant community of his people through faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that it is only Christ who can forgive our sin and grant us eternal life. But that is a privilege that we did not earn. It was a privilege that we have been given. And we, as Christ's church, have been charged to let others know this wonderful good news of salvation is for them too. God is not an exclusive God. His love does not just exist for men and women of faith. It exists for every man and every woman throughout the world. He longs for all people to turn to him. Turn to him, their holy, righteous, and compassionate God. A God who is loving and just and merciful and kind. A God who in Christ Jesus offers forgiveness of sin and reconciliation in his name. We are founded on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we, as his church, are called to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Or to put it into our own context, we are called to be witnesses for Christ in Oma and in County Tyrone and to the ends of the earth. Interesting, no countries are named there. Towns, provinces, the world. Because the world belongs to God. So Christ's great commission is to go out into all the world, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. We are not to be an introverted group of people who gather in like-minded groups, keeping themselves apart from others and from the rest of the world. We are all called to move out and into the world with the good news that Christ has to offer. The church does exist for the benefit of its non-members. Our task, our primary task as the church, is to bring to completion God's mission to the world, to call men, women, and children into a living relationship with Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And we have lots of examples to follow, particularly the example of Jesus himself. He called all sorts of people to follow him. He had a motley crew of disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, lawyers, prostitutes, outcasts, wealthy women, religious leaders, poverty-stricken widows. He had extroverts like Peter, ready to rush in impulsively. He had deep thinkers like John. He had befrienders like Andrew. He had devoted followers like Mary Magdalene. He had skeptics like Thomas. And he had faithful, practical supporters like Martha. Each with their own part to play in calling people into the kingdom of God. Jesus went out of the synagogues and encountered people in their everyday worlds, healing the sick, releasing the captive, showing mercy to the blind, welcoming the stranger and bringing wholeness to the weary and the broken. And he calls his followers to do the same. We have the example of the disciples to follow, the example of the 12 who went out on their first mission, the example of the 72 who were sent out to the area around Galilee, sent out with the power and the authority of Jesus to declare the good news of the kingdom of God. And after his death and resurrection, Jesus sent out all his disciples to the ends of the earth with power and authority to be his ambassadors for his kingdom. And he gifted them the Holy Spirit to empower and enable them for the tasks they are called to do. And they fulfilled their task. They shared the good news of the gospel. Many came to a living faith in Jesus. Communities of faith were established. Christian witness occurred in the nations, and it spread throughout the world. To our day, to our place, and to our time. As Christians, we have the same power and authority. The power and authority that Christ had, and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit to enable us to carry on his great mission to the world. Our mission is to share the good news of the gospel to those who are outside of the church. Yes, we need to gather together to worship and pray and to learn about God, to pray together and to fellowship with one another. But that is to equip and enable us to be his servants in the world. We won't all have the same role to play, but we will all have a role to follow in sharing the good news of God's kingdom. We are all called to be a light to the nations and to be salt in the world, transforming that which is broken into that which is whole. We are all called to make a difference in our world for Christ, and a difference in the lives of men and women. I don't know if you see yourself as a Christian missionary. Maybe you think that's only for a select few, those who serve overseas. People like Tom, who work as Irish mission workers in the South. Maybe you see it as a role for me as the minister, or for Emma as our youth and community worker, or for someone who's been given the gift of evangelism. But we are all called to be missionaries for Christ, to represent him in the world and to share the reason for the hope that we have in him. If someone were to ask you, why are you a Christian? How would you respond? Each one of you has your own story to tell. It's different. It might be similar, but it's different from those of people around you. Have you ever taken time to think about your Christian journey of faith? Thought about how you would communicate that to someone else? You might not feel that you have enough Bible knowledge to lead a Bible study, but can you tell people a little bit about what being a Christian is like for you and how God has helped you in your world, in your situation? Often in the times of trouble and in the times of difficulty, we know that God and Christ walk with us. And one person sharing that with another person is sharing the good news of the gospel. Or maybe you can think of a favourite Bible passage or a Bible passage that really speaks to you. Think about why that is. Why does that speak into your heart? Why does it bring you comfort? How could you communicate that to someone else who might be in a similar situation to you? How could you share that with them in a way that would bring them comfort, in a way that would bring them peace, in a way that might bring them joy? That's being a missionary for God, just chatting to someone in a difficult situation in life. Not everyone will be or is expected to be a Billy Graham, or a church planter like the Apostle Paul, or an eloquent preacher like Peter. Some people will be gifted in this way, and others will have their gifts fall in a different direction. But we're all given an opportunity to use what God has given us and use it to share the good news of the gospel, to shine the light of Christ into the situations we find ourselves in. We're not to hide our Christian faith under a bowl, but to take it out and allow it to shine in the world. And remember, you don't do it in your own strength, but you do it in the strength that Jesus provides. And you will be equipped and enabled to do this task through the gift of his Holy Spirit, who lives in the hearts of all who believe and trust in Jesus. The Apostle Paul gives us some wise advice at the end of the letter to Colossians. Advice to everyday Christians as to what they can do to enable the good news of the gospel to be shared with others. He tells us to be persistent in prayer and to be watchful for where God is at work. We can all pray, every single one of us. We can bring our prayers before God. We can look out at the world and we can see situations where God is at work, and we can pray for that situation, that God would bless that situation, that God would use that opportunity to bring people into his kingdom. We could see opportunities to share in the work of spreading the gospel, praying that someone would have the right words at the right time, that people would respond with courage and faith in a particular situation, and that people would show compassion and love where they see a need. So we can act persistently in prayer before God, bringing these situations to him. We don't have to do anything about it ourselves, but we can pray, and God can use that opportunity to empower his work. Or we can pray for other people. Paul asked the Colossian Christians to pray for him in his ministry. So we can pray for those who are in missionary situations across the world. Doctors in hospitals in Africa, mission workers in Kilkenny, Sunday school teachers in churches across the land, individual people drawing alongside a friend in need. You can pray for managers as they witness for Christ in the work they do Monday to Friday. You can pray for chaplains as they visit the sick and the people in prison. You can pray for the preacher who's preparing a word in season. So we can pray for situations, we can pray for people. But Christ also calls us to respond in faith, to be salt and light in the world. And Paul reminds us that our Christian witness is visible for other people to see. So to be wise about how we live our lives. People will see how we live our life in the day to day. Not just the times when you're here in church or in the Bible study or at the prayer meeting or in the choir. He will see you when you're in the supermarket queue. They will see you whenever you've had a bad day at work. They will see you when you're socializing with others, because your Christian witness invades every aspect of your lives. So Paul tells us to be wise in our conduct, in our conversation, so that our confession for Christ is consistent with our lifestyles. It's amazing how we can witness for Christ when we may not even share a word from the Bible. or offer to pray for someone. Our witness can shine through. But that's not a get-out clause. We are still required to give a reason for the hope that we have in us. When people see how we cope in particular situations, they will want to know, what is it that you have that I long for? Will you be able to respond with an answer? And so Paul reminds us to have our conversations seasoned with the grace of Christ, to be people who do not condemn others, but rather people who share the good news of the gospel and encourage them to a life of repentance and faith in Christ. It is not an easy task, but it is a task that Christ has called us to fulfill for him. It is the purpose of the church to share the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So I'll finish with the words of a hymn in our hymn book. Though I feel afraid of territory unknown, I know that I can say that I do not stand alone. For Jesus, you have promised your presence in my heart. I cannot see the ending, but it's here that I must start. What lies across the waves may cause my heart to fear. Will I survive the day? Must I leave what's known and dear? A ship that's in the harbour is still and safe from harm, but it was not built to be there. It was made for wind and storm. And all I know is you have called me, and that I will follow is all I can say. I will go where you will send me, and your fire lights my way. Amen. Your offering to God will be received. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks that your good news is good news for all the world. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them and that you would use us to further your kingdom here in this place and across this world for your glory. Amen. We finish with a great missionary hymn. It's hymn 541, I the Lord of Sea and Sky. Be bold to share the life of Christ and show his love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you today and always. Amen.